We in St. John's Hartford this evening join that crowd at the foot of the cross. They are people like us, with hopes and fears, with joys and sorrows. And we hear Jesus. Jesus crying out from the cross, "It is finished." That cry is not a cry of defeat. I've had it. It's all over. It is a cry of achievement. I've done it. He has completed the work which he came to this earth to do. God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit had conceived a plan, a rescue plan, a plan which looked to bring to an end the rebellion in creation, a plan which looked to the restoration of all things, especially men and women, to a right relationship with him.
Chapter 23, starting at verse 26. That's page 1060 in your blue Bibles if you're looking for it there. As they led Jesus away, they seized Simon of Cyrene, who was on his way in from the country, and put the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. A large number of people followed him, including women who mourned and wailed for him. Jesus turned and said to them, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children. For the time is coming when you will say, 'Blessed are the barren women, the wombs that never bore and breasts that never nursed.' Then they will say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if men do these things when the tree is green, what will happen when it is dry?" Two other men, both criminals, were also led out with him to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, there they crucified him, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Christ of God, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above him which read, "This is the King of the Jews." One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you are under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "I tell you the truth. Today you will be with me in paradise."
Our world, yours and mine, so often revolves around ourselves. We are at the centre. The truth is, however, that God is at the centre of the universe. He made it. He made it for himself. And we can only be truly happy when we put him at the centre and obey him. Jesus did just that. When Jesus uttered the words, "It is finished," it was in part a recognition that his obedience was finished. It was complete. In his earthly life, he'd done what we fail to do. He'd had obeyed his Father's will in everything. He had submitted wholly to God's plan for his life. He is the only human being whose obedience has been so total. The scriptures show him to be the Son of God, but also fully human, and yet in no way self-centered or self-seeking. St. Paul tells us that although he was entitled to the splendor of heaven, for heaven was his home, he, the second person of the Blessed Trinity, the only begotten Son of God, took human flesh, became a man, the God-man, in the womb of Mary. And then, as he grew up, he humbled himself and became obedient, even to the point of dying on the cross. How unlike you and me, even at our best. So often our concern is our comfort, our interests, our pleasure, our desires, our next promotion. Jesus was in a perfect relationship with his Father. He was obedient every day, even when it meant an unjust execution. For he came not just to show us what God is like, not just to give us some profound teaching. God's will was that he should take on himself the penalty for our sins, yours and mine. Obedience took him to the cross. His obedience was a total obedience, a finished obedience. And so he cries out from the cross, "It is finished, complete, done." Think of him there on the cross. The suffering, the nails, the crown of thorns, the pain, the scoffing of the crowd. Yes, Jesus was obedient to God until his death. Let's bow our heads to pray. It was for us, Lord Jesus, that you endured all this. The hatred, the treachery, the rejection of men, the scourging, the mockery, the crown of thorns, the agony and shame and dereliction of the cross. It was for us men and women and for our salvation that you suffered and died. Give us each one a deeper understanding of what you have done for us and of what we owe to you, that we may live as those who are no longer their own, but have been bought with a price, the price of your lifeblood, O Lamb of God, our most gracious Redeemer and King. Amen. We continue with the story of the first Good Friday.
The second reading is taken from Luke chapter 23, verses 44 to 56. In the Blue Bible, it is on page 1060. It was now about the sixth hour, and darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour, for the sun stopped shining, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out in a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he had said this, he breathed his last. The centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, "Surely this was a righteous man." When all the people who had gathered to witness this sight saw what took place, they beat their breasts and went away. But all those who knew him, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching these things. Now there was a man named Joseph, a member of the council, a good and upright man, who had not consented to the decision and action. He came from Judean town of Arimathea, and he was waiting for the kingdom of God. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body. Then he took it down, wrapped it in linen cloth, and placed it in a tomb cut in the rock, one in which no one had yet been laid. It was preparation day, and the Sabbath was about to begin. The women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed Joseph and saw the tomb and how his body was laid in it. Then they went home and prepared spices and perfumes. But they rest on the Sabbath in obedience to the commandment. Thanks be to God.
Jesus' death was not only a time of completed obedience, it was also a time of completed sacrifice. When Jesus cries, "It is finished," he meant that his sacrifice of himself was complete. The idea of sacrifice permeates the whole Bible. From Genesis 4 onward, we find the idea of God receiving sacrifices from his people. There are sacrifices to show loyalty, sacrifices to demonstrate thankfulness, sacrifices to symbolize commitment, and sacrifices made to acknowledge sin. Each sacrifice required and entailed the death of a precious animal and pointed forward to the supreme sacrifice, the death of Jesus, the Son of God, on the cross. When an animal was sacrificed for sin, it was the custom that the person who had brought the animal laid their hand on the animal's head and then confessed sins. And this was to symbolize that those sins were being transferred to the animal. The animal was going to lose its life in the sinner's place. When Jesus died, he was making the sacrifice for sins once and for all. One writer puts it like this: he, the just, died for the unjust to bring us to God. He offered one sacrifice for sins forever. There is no more need for those animal sacrifices. Friends, there is no sacrifice that we can offer to win God's favor. We could never offer enough. The one necessary sacrifice has been made for us on our behalf by our Lord Jesus Christ. His obedience to his heavenly Father and his love for sinful men and women led him, the God-man, submitting himself to dreadful abuse and torture, to give up his human life and his fellowship with his heavenly Father for all who will turn away from their sin and trust in him. My God, why have you forsaken me? Were also words of Jesus from the cross. He was experiencing the hell that we deserve. And on the cross, the sacrifice which brings peace with God was completed. And so, as we think of him there on the cross, as we think of the suffering, the nails, the crown of thorns, the pain, the scoffing of the crowd, let us now, in the quiet of our hearts, thank God for Jesus' finished obedience and finished sacrifice, which were for us. Lord Jesus Christ, you willingly suffered on the cross all that was necessary for our eternal salvation. and drained the cup of sacrifice to the last. We thank you for your great work of redemption, achieved once for all at infinite cost, by which we are reconciled to God. Help us to rest our faith on what you have done, and to know that the way to the Father's presence is opened to us all through the cross, now and forevermore. Amen.
Our third reading is John's perspective on the crucifixion. John 19, verse 17 through to verse 30, and that's page 1088 in the Church Bibles. Carrying his own cross, he went out to the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. Here they crucified him, and with him two others, one on each side and Jesus in the middle. Pilate had a notice prepared and fastened it to the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this sign, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and the sign was written in Aramaic, Latin, and Greek. The chief priests of the Jews protested to Pilate, "Do not write the King of the Jews, but that this man claimed to be King of the Jews." Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." When the soldiers crucified Jesus, they took his clothes, dividing them into four shares, one for each of them, with the undergarment remaining. This garment was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. "Let's not tear it," they said to one another. "Let's decide by lot who will get it." This happened that the scripture might be fulfilled, which said, "They divided my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing." So this is what the soldiers did. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Dear woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. Later, knowing that all was now completed, and so that the scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Thanks be to God for his word.
When Jesus utters the words, "It is finished," it signifies something very wonderful for you and for me here in St. John's, Hartford, tonight. For his finished obedience and finished sacrifice mean that all that is needed for men and women to find peace with God for all eternity has been done. all that is necessary for God to be able to give us forgiveness of our sins and the life of his Spirit has been completed. It is finished, is a cry of triumph, not defeat. A cry of victory, a cry of achievement. And because of that achievement, there is hope. Hope for humankind. Hope of eternal life. Hope of a life with God, free from sin and guilt. But more, St. Paul tells us that Jesus' death secured the redemption not just of humankind, but of creation itself. We look forward to the life of the world to come, a life free of limitation, of imperfection, of matters to fear. The whole creation looks forward to the new heavens and the new earth. Jesus calls us, you and me, to enter into that fellowship with God that his death has made possible. He calls upon us to turn away from self-reliance and instead trust in him. Join the crowd again in your mind and heart. That crowd around the cross. Think of Jesus, the nails, the crown of thorns, the wounded side, the agony of pain. The agony of, for a while anyway, no longer enjoying his Father's favor. He doesn't have to die. He's the Son of God. He chose to die, to finish, to complete the work his Father had sent him to do. He chose this way because he and his Father and the Holy Spirit love us. It is finished. Your salvation and mine, finished on that cross. We must receive it. We must believe. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Let's take a further moment of quiet now to consider these things. To stand in that crowd, seeing all that's going on, seeing the two criminals alongside Jesus. Seeing Jesus as he notices his own mother and asks John to care for her. Let's just be quiet for a moment at the cross. We're now going to use two of the church's prayers, collects. First of all, the collect for Good Friday. Almighty God, in mercy, look on this, your family, for which our Lord Jesus Christ was willing to be betrayed and given up into the hands of wicked men and to suffer death upon the cross, who now lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, for ever and ever. Amen. And the collect, the church's prayer for this season of Lent. Almighty and everlasting God, you hate nothing that you have made, and forgive the sins of all who are penitent. Make in us new and contrite hearts, so that lamenting our sins and acknowledging our wretchedness, we may receive from you, the God of all mercy, perfect remission and forgiveness. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Please remain standing as we take another moment or two of quiet, joining those crowds around the cross. The disciples, the religious leaders, the women folk, he died that we might be forgiven. He died to make us good. He died that we might be part of God's family, and that we may, in future, enjoy his company in the life of the world to come. Let us now close our time together by saying together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.